1. About a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message on God is love. And tonight, we're going to look at God is light. God is light. Light's pretty amazing thing. You know, you think about it, it's so much easier to do everything when there's light, right? You know, you go in your house and you can go through a room in your house so much easier in the light than you do in the middle of the night, and you decide, I don't need to turn the light on. There's a little bit coming through the windows, or I could, yeah, and then you stub your toe about halfway through trying to get something, right? Yeah, that little one. Always that little one. Yeah, I feel like it just cut it off. Yeah, things are done so much easier. And, you know, that's really why the majority of things are done during the daytime. It's easier to be done in the daytime. When I worked construction, man, it was winter times would be hard sometimes because you're working jobs, and what would be hard is if something got delayed and the job kept going and then it got into the nighttime and it would get dark by 5 o'clock. And you're here sitting there trying to pour concrete in the dark. That's not a very easy thing to do. You got to get light stands up and light poles and shining them down and yeah, as best as possible, we didn't do it that way, but sometimes on a rare occasion, you'd have to do that, and it made it difficult. Light sure makes things a lot easier, a lot easier. You know, we don't have light without God. If God didn't exist, we would have no light. Look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let's go to God in a word of prayer tonight as we get in this message. Lord, we thank you that we can meet with you, God. And God, thank you for bringing these folks in and their faithfulness to be here in the house of God. And Lord, I just ask you to give me the wisdom as I preach tonight, that I would bring forth a message that would please you and honor you and lift you up, and it'd be a help to them here. They came to get something from you, God, so put Jason Dunbar off to the side and allow your name and your word to be lifted up and magnified and be a help to them. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, light produces light. Light produces light. Look in Genesis chapter 1, all the way back at the beginning, right? It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." There was darkness. "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." The interesting thing about this is, was no sun. The sun wasn't created yet, and yet there was day and there was night. That's because God is light. And if he wants light to be somewhere, he's going to put light there. He's light, and only he can produce it. He is the father of lights. Now, we get artificial lights, right? We produce electricity, and I thank God that we had people that were able to come up with this stuff. All right, so much nicer than having candles in here, right? Yeah. We don't have to worry about, I hope we don't burn the building down tonight. No gas lanterns or anything like that. We've got electricity. But you know what? We wouldn't have that without God. God gave men the ability to figure this out, how electricity was produced, and be able to give it to us, all right? You know what else? We can be called children of light. Because God is light, because he can produce light, he can make us children of light. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be... Get your fingers ready. We're going to be looking through a lot of scriptures here tonight. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You know what? Before you were saved, you were a child of darkness. Your father was the devil. Therefore, you had no light in you. And then as soon as you got saved, God gave you a light. And now you're children of light. And says, "Therefore, walk as children of light." You know, we should have a walk then that represents that. We should have a different walk. Our walk should not be like the children of darkness. Our walk should be like children of light. Others should be able to see it. What else? Go to Colossians. Colossians 1. Just two books over. Colossians 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Once again, here we are seeing that, hey, we're children of light. God's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But look at that last part of verse 12 there. It says, be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hey, we are partakers of his inheritance. He made us children of light, so because we're his children, we get to partake of his inheritance. You know, you think about it, when a father dies and passes and you know, mom's gone and his earthly goods are bestowed upon his children. He gives them to his children. Yeah. Very rare does a man say, oh, you know what? You're not a part of my family, but I'm going to write you in my will. That rarely happens. When he was saved, God said, oh, you're one of my children now. You're getting written in the will. You get to enjoy some of that inheritance. All right? Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. What else? Because we're children of light now, what else do we get to enjoy? 1 Thessalonians 5. And then 5 through 10 says, ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. You know what? Our life should show the light of salvation to others. See, when you got saved, you got that light in you. Well, then that light should shine forth so that others can see that light of salvation as well. We're not to be like those that are asleep. All right? Now, some Christians, they fall asleep. They don't show that light anymore. They're trying to hide it. They're trying to cover it. I don't know why. We shouldn't be ones that want to show it forth. Let people know that, hey, you can have that light too. That's who we should be. Because we're children of the light, we should act like children of the light. We should not act like the children of darkness. And then 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we're not supposed to live like the children of darkness. They live a certain way. They act a certain way. We saw that we should walk differently so that they have a different walk. We're not to be like that. He says, the Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. Not a weird people, but peculiar. Just different. All right? So we should not act and walk like the world does. We should act and walk like children of light. We should look different. You ever go out and you see somebody and you go, they look like a Christian. Maybe because they are. I've had that happen where you go, man, you go up and ask somebody, are you a Christian? Yep. I thought so. Because they look different. Well, can that be said of you? When you're out in this world, do people look at you and go, something different about that person? Something different about it. I don't know what it is. Well, you know what? If they're lost, they're not going to understand the difference because they don't have the spirit in them. Maybe when I'm out and I'm, you know, you'll be traveling and you'll get seated next to somebody and you just go, man, there's something different about this person. I wonder if they're, you find out they're a Christian too. Well, they got the same spirit that you got called the Holy Spirit. And he's bringing you two together and you can tell, man, you got some fellowship there. You don't even know him, but there's some fellowship there. Because you're both children of light, not of the darkness. Darkness acts differently. So light. Light produces light. God is light, and therefore when we become his child, hey, he gives us his light. He produces light. Secondly, light chases away darkness. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And if you go through here, the rest of this chapter is talking about, hey, there's wicked people coming after me. There's people that are looking out, coming after me, but I don't have to worry because I have the Lord. Well, you know, light chases away darkness. So because of that, because we have his light, we can be bold against the rulers of darkness. You don't have to be afraid when going out and confronting people about the gospel, about salvation, about anything. You know, we've got some freedoms in this land right now still. We need to take advantage of those liberties, or I believe they're going to be taken away. I had a history professor that said, hey, the liberties you don't use eventually will get taken. Because if you're not taking advantage of it, they'll take it away. So you need to be taking advantage of it. Every one of those, you know, we've got plenty of amendments in our law. And those that allow you to do things, we should be doing it. We have freedom of speech to go out and, hey, proclaim the gospel to somebody. Do it. Don't be afraid of what people might say. There's people, yeah, they're going to try and twist your words, but hey, just keep giving them the truth. Keep giving them the truth. Oh, man, we don't have to be afraid of the children of darkness. Because we have the light. We have the light. Look in John 12. Think of Jesus' time, man. He had Pharisees and Sadducees. They were children of darkness. They weren't following God. They were following their own ways. They had put extra weights and extra burdens on the people. I mean, they just attacked Jesus and attacked Jesus and attacked Jesus. And he just kept going after them. They would go after him, and he'd just give them truth and give them truth, give them truth, give them truth, give them truth. He was light right there in front of them, and they were blind. They couldn't even see it. They were so blinded by their own ways, by their own thoughts, by their own opinions. John chapter 12, verse 44 says, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." The light chases away the darkness. Look, we need to bring that light and bring it to others. There's folks living in a dark world. They're children of darkness, but they don't have to be children of darkness. They can be children of light. They can come out of that darkness and into his light. But they won't see it unless we bring it to them. Because the devil's not going to show it to them. In fact, he's going to do the opposite. We're going to see that here in a minute. He's a great imitator of that light. He's a great imitator. But he does not allow them to see the true light. So that means that's on us. We need to be bold and give it to them. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that will reject it. Because my next point here, this is why we need to be bold about it. It's because light exposes things. Light exposes things. Think of, go to John chapter 3. Think of cockroaches or my wife's favorite thing down here, the big giant water bugs. Right, honey? Yes. Those are cockroaches too. Oh, yes, Miss Abigail. I forgot. You love them too, don't you? She loves them. Yep. But yeah, if one is in the middle of the floor, and it's dark in the house, and you go in and you flip a light on, that thing scurries for the darkness. It just exposed, hey, there he is, right there in the middle of the floor. And if you're my wife, you start screaming for your husband. Kill it! Kill it! Even though, you know, you got boots right there, you got something, you can hit it, but no, I gotta come in and do it. So, but light exposes things. John chapter 3, verse Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Light exposes things. You know, you ever go into a hotel room, and you turn the lights on, and you're like, it's kind of dark in here. Yeah, they don't want you to see the dirt that's in that hotel room, because they didn't do a very good job of cleaning it, so they dim the lights a little bit, or they take out a few bulbs, or yeah. But if you go in a hotel room, you're like, wow, it's really bright in here. That means they did a good, they clean the place. They make sure they go above and beyond in cleaning. Yeah, because they don't want their bad job exposed. Well, men are that way. Men are naturally, we have evil deeds, and so man does not want his evil deeds exposed, so he doesn't want to come to that light. That light, man, it comes on and it just shines bright on our evil deeds. I think of the burning and the looting and the rioting that's happened this last year. Normally, when did it take place? At nighttime. When it was dark. Now, there was some stuff being done during the day. I did see some of that. But predominantly, most of the time, it happens at night. Burning down businesses at night, robbing businesses at night, rioting at night. That just right there, I go, all right, deeds are evil. You're doing it at nighttime. You're doing it undercover in a darkness, and you're trying to get away with something. Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. A lot of illegal activities take place at night. I was just down Friday. We went to the police station. They were giving a tour, a bond being put forth, and they're showing off the facilities and you know how they're needing to expand. And talking to the police chief there, and he was talking about some of the things that you know the biggest problems that they have to deal with in the city. And it's these game rooms, illegal activity, and where is it done? Oh, it's done in the back room. No windows, where it's dark, right? In my opinion, from what it sounded like, it's done probably during the nighttime. A lot of it is. And so here it is late at night, the night shift, they've got to take care of it. Or I think it was carburetors they were stealing. Theft of carburetors is a big problem. Guess when that happens? Nighttime. You know, they don't go in and go under someone's car and rip a piece off during the day. They do it at nighttime when no one's looking, or they hope no one's looking. It's a big problem. Nighttime. They don't do it during the daytime because they'll be exposed. They'll be seen. Go, hey, what's that guy doing over there? Is that his car? You know, then the police officer will go up there and ask him. No, they try to do it when there's no light. Light exposes our sin so that we can't. Really, God does it so we can get things right with him. Because God wants it, you know, I'm going to put a big flashlight on. I'm going to put a big light, spotlight. Here's your sin. Here's the problem. What are you going to do about it? See, for a Christian, God wants us to get right with him so we can keep that fellowship with him. For the sinner, he wants him to repent, get saved, so that he can become a child of God. But man doesn't want to do that. Hopefully you as a Christian, man, you're... that's not the case. Hopefully you don't mind it when God shines that light and exposes your sin so that you can get things right. But you know what? How often do we get that light out and shine it upon us? You know, often we like to compare ourselves amongst each other. It's just human nature. Be like, oh, I'm not as bad as that person. And, oh, that person's a little bit better than me. Yeah, compare yourself to this right here. How good am I? You do that, that light's going to shine real bright. And it's going to show you you're not as good as you think you are. And so therefore, man, that light shines real bright on us. God does it because he wants us to get right. He wants us to repent of it. He doesn't want us to keep meddling around in that sin. He wants us to see it for what it is. Change our ways.
So we've got light produces light. Light chases away darkness. Light exposes things. And fourthly, light guides men. It guides men. First of all, we're going to see that Satan tries to imitate it. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. It just says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan himself, he tries to make himself look like an angel of light. He tries to imitate the light. It's not a real light. And it does one of two things. For the sinner, gets him closer to hell. Because if he can follow, if Satan can get him to think that, oh, I'm following the light, he's not going to look at the real one. And he'll draw him closer and closer to hell. Think of all the false religions out there. That's imitation. It's not real light. It appears to be light, but it's not real light. They don't have the actual truth. And in fact, it's interesting, they don't want you to actually read this Bible. If they really wanted you to, you know, I think about Catholicism. If they really wanted you to read this Bible, they'd read it in English every service. But they don't. They read it in Latin. Last I checked, most Americans don't understand Latin. Most people don't understand Latin except for maybe a Latin. But they don't know. They don't understand Latin. So why are we reading it in Latin? Read it out of the English. They understand the English, but they don't want them to know the truth. We're going to be an imitation of that truth, and we're going to just keep leading them until their death, and then got them. That's why it's important that we get out there and shine the light. But then the other thing he does is he leads the saint away from God. He's an imitation, and you know, we as Christians, we get drawn away from the real light. Don't let that imitation fool you. Don't have that, you know, have that discussion of, well, you know, I know I shouldn't do this thing over here, but is it really that bad? Yeah, it's really that bad because God said you shouldn't do it. So don't do it. Look at the children of Israel. Go to Exodus 13 and Exodus 14. They were guided by the light. Exodus 13, verse 21, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And then in chapter 14, verse 19, it says, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. The Egyptian army was starting to get close to Israel. God had already established, I've got a pillar of a cloud by day, and then a pillar of fire by night. What an amazing way to travel is this massive pillar of fire lighting the whole way. I mean, you don't have to get a flashlight out, man. You got a nice clear path right there, just lighting it up. And then the Egyptian army is coming, and Israel's getting scared, okay? They're cut in. I saw a picture where it's believed that they may have crossed the part of the Red Sea, and it's this narrow path, and then it opens up to the sea, and you're stuck. If you get in there, you got the sea in front of you, and you got no way behind you. And so if you got an army coming in towards you, you're stuck, unless you got boats, which they didn't have. Well, God said, all right, that pillar, come down, going to divide you two. The Egyptians didn't even go through. It was so they couldn't see, so they didn't dare go through with the cloud. But did you see what it said? It was a cloud of darkness for the Egyptians, but it gave light at night to the Israelites. That's an amazing pillar. It was able to split itself. This, okay, darkness over here, but light over here. His light guides us. That light, that pillar of fire, it led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. They followed it. Now, we know God's design ultimately was not to be that long. Okay, they were supposed to go take the promised land shortly hereafter. They didn't. They rebelled. But God still gave them that pillar of fire and said, hey, when it moves, you move. I'm going to keep guiding you. God didn't leave them in the wilderness just, all right, I'll come back in 40 years. Now, he wanted to. But Moses is like, Lord, if you, I think Moses is like, God, okay, God, if you leave, I'm leaving. I'm not sticking around and dealing with these people if you're not going to stay with me. And so that pillar of fire led them for 40 years. They followed it. Well, we have a light. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a light for our feet. You know, I've heard people say, man, I wish there was an instruction book for life. There it is. You know what the problem is? They don't want to read it. I don't want to read that. Yeah, because it'll be light. It'll show you what you need to do. It'll show you what you shouldn't be doing. It exposes your sin. You don't want that. And it'll say, this is what you're doing. You shouldn't be doing this. And this is what you should be doing. You really don't want that. Because it'll tell you what to do. It'll tell you where to go. It'll tell you what you should be doing. And sometimes people don't want to be told what to do. So that idea that, oh, I wish I had an instruction book for life. Yeah, no, you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't read it. Because I know God gave us one. And often, even as a Christian, it's, oh, man, I got to read my Bible today. Instead of, hey, I get to read my Bible today. Find out what God wants for me. Shows us what to do. It shows us how to do it. And it shows us where to do it. But you know what? You're never going to know those instructions unless you're in His Word. Unless you're reading it. We got to be in it. We have, He gave us the light. It'll guide us. It'll show us what we need to be doing, but we've got to be in the Bible doing it. Got to be in it. Go back to John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to close it there. We're going to see two more verses after verse 5. Light produces light. Light chases away darkness. Light exposes things, and light guides men. I've been in the forest and it was dark, man. I was thankful that I had a light. Even if it's just a tiny light, I'm thankful for that light because, man, you cannot see. Light helps you get around. 1 John 1, verse 5 through 7 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hey, God is light. How are you doing walking in that light? Where to walk in it? Really, when it comes down to these things that I made mention of, if you're doing it, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're walking in this light. You'll be guided. It'll expose your sin and you'll get it right. You'll still keep walking in his light. You're saved. He's already put that light in you. And you'll be bold to, you know, stand up and show the light to others. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship with God and with other believers. How are you doing walking in his light? He is light. Do you walk in it? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to live in darkness throughout our life. There's a lot of things that I know lost people struggle with. They don't understand. They don't know what to do. They have got questions. But God, I'm thankful that I've got a God I can go to who shows me the way. Thank you, God, for being a light for us and for giving us your light so that we can live for you. We can know what we're supposed to do. We don't have to wonder about things. And ultimately, we know that you are in control of things. Thank you for it, Lord. Help us to live as such. Help us to live a life that shows the light to others. Help us not to hide it. Help us not to put it under a bushel like some do, but that we let it shine so others can see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We'll turn to page number 17, Have Thine Own Way.
Come on forward and just talk with him as we sing.
Have thine own way.
You can be seated right now. Brother Marion, would you lead us in a song as we get some things ready? And we'll have a baptism here in just a few minutes.
Amen. Yes. Thank the Lord. Turn in your hymn book if you would. Turn over to number 330. Number 330. 330. Shall we gather at the river?